Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And I'm going to introduce our fellow panelists. You know, Rich, he's no stranger. Rich Esterpoli, he's retired Secret Service. I've been holding some very interesting stories that I know Rich is going to be all over. So, Rich, thanks so much for being on the show. I love the backdrop, by the way. I love the backdrop. I just saw a bird fly by. Yeah.
You might have, or somebody fall off the roof of a building. Yeah.
There you go. So thanks. Hey, a shout out, you know, to our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com. Also Compliant Technologies. They got us on satellite radio on May the 5th. A big shout out to them. Arrow Precision USA, our new arm sponsor. They're back with us for a few months. We've got gunlearn.com, bluethegold.com, mymedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, who is our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're streaming to Pages with about 1.5 million followers right now. Also, twobells.com. They built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. Go to leoroundtable.com. If you haven't seen our gear yet, guys, we don't charge anything extra. We're just trying to get our gear out there. Check out leoroundtable.com and go to that online store. Also, fishorlandobass.com. They have bass fishing charters. And look, here's the deal, guys. If you're going to Orlando, Rich, even you may go and hug Mickey or whatever. I could see that. Frank's told me some stories. But anyhow, if you go to Orlando, you're taking the wife and the kids. You have options now, so you can let them go to Disney. And you can do the fishing charter with fishorlandobass.com. And they've even got an alligator hunting option. You don't hunt and kill, but they do like catch and release alligators. It's pretty cool. So no matter whether you're going to be fishing for bass or maybe hunting alligators and releasing them into the wild, it's a great opportunity while the wife and the kids are doing the Disney thing. So I'm just throwing that out there. You have options, Rich.
Can't say I've done that before, alligator catch and release, but it sounds pretty good. I'll go visit the alligator Alcatraz.
Hey, you know, I like that. It's only like about a 4-hour drive. You know, actually I take that back. Maybe closer to 8 hours. Cause we're down pretty far south, but
I get more entertainment out of visiting that than I would, you know, the teacups ride at Disneyland.
You're right. You might be able to take the bass fishing charter on it, maybe get on an airboat and head down to the alligator Alcatraz. I like that. Hey, shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com and lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Guys, let me just go. We got some good federal stuff going on. And let me just run over. This is just the titles of the articles that have. This is timely. This is just coming out, and Rich is going to help make sense of all this for you. So I'm just reading the titles on the federal articles that we're covering, and then I'll cover the other stuff. Obama-era officials face federal grand jury over a Trump-Russia collusion hoax. Then we're going to move down. We've got a former FBI director, Christopher Wray, criminally referred to the DOJ. We've got Jack Smith now under federal investigation for politically targeting President Donald Trump. Disgraced former Secret Service director denied security clearance renewal. It's only been a year. And then lastly, WMDs, Weapons of Mass Destruction, Tulsi Gabbard drops a bombshell on Barack Obama's D&I, James Clapper. That's the one that came out this morning. So, guys, stay tuned for that stuff. And look, we're also going to be talking about explosives found during the arrest of a Tennessee guy who threatened public officials. And, yeah, there were a lot of them. We got body cam shows, a Muskogee fatal shootout between a suspect and police, but the suspect threatened to kill a code enforcement officer. So the cavalry came to back up the code enforcement officer, and they brought a bear cat down some really nice neighborhood, some, you know, residential neighborhood. It was pretty crazy watching the shootout go down. Savannah officers justified in shooting a suspect who reversed and crashed into officers during a pursuit, and he ended up dragging an officer or two. Body cam shows Alberta, a Royal Canadian Mounted Police officer being dragged when trying to stop a driver inside of a stolen car. Apparently, they did not get the memo on how this don't get in the moving car. So if you're ready, Rich, let's take these stories one by one, if that's okay. I'd like to keep it moving, but it's just so much going on, too much for me just to go through all like five of them. So all these stories are from Red Voice Media, that is rvmnews.com, and Red Voice Media, of course, red. That is not just they didn't just pick a color out of the sky when they came with the news. Red Voice Media, red's for a reason. Obama era officials face federal grand jury over Trump Russia collusion hoax. Now look, I'm going to skim over the top. Whatever I don't cover, I'm doing that because I'm giving Rich the opportunity to educate us. This is his world. He's the expert, and he's going to dummy down the information for us so that we all get it. So a federal grand jury has been convened by the Department of Justice, the DOJ, to investigate former senior officials, plural, from the Obama administration for their alleged involvement in promoting claims that President Donald Trump colluded with Russia during the 2016 election. I'm sure we all remember that. And this is according to the information obtained by the Post. Now, the investigation, they focus on whether members of former President Barack Obama's cabinet, whether they conspired to initiate and spread what became the Trump-Russia collusion narrative. And that went on for years, right? All kinds of public controversy over that. And of course, it went on to a lot of other things too. Among those reportedly under scrutiny, and this is where it gets very interesting, we have the former director of the National Intelligence, James Clapper. And then we got former CIA director, John Brennan. Former FBI director, James Comey, who has been in the news as well. John Solomon is reporting that his sources are saying that the grand jury will actually be in Florida due to the raid on Mar-a-Lago. That would make me smile. The outcome of the grand jury could result in criminal charges depending on the findings. I know that a lot of people I talk to would like to see that, but a lot of people are in doubt whether that could happen or not. The decision to move forward with the grand jury signals a significant step in the long-running dispute over the origins and the conduct of the federal investigation into the President Trump's 2016 campaign, and they commonly refer to this as a crossfire hurricane. Now, the probe ultimately led to the appointment of a special counsel. He was Robert Mueller. He spent nearly 2 years investigating allegations, but he said he found no evidence of criminal collusion between Trump's campaign and Russian actors. Now, President Trump, along with the current director of national security, that is Tulsi Gabbard, of course, they have publicly called for a full federal investigation to the origins of Crossfire Hurricane. And they both have maintained the probe is politically motivated, driven by partisan operatives within the federal government. And Trump has consistently asserted that the purpose of the Russia probe was to delegitimize his presidency and to obstruct his ability to carry out his first term agenda. And yeah, that first term little note at the end of that is important because we're really talking about Trump 1.0. But man, the ramifications for what happened. So Rich, take it over from here. We got four more coming up, but this is the first one.
Man, there's no shortage of things to talk about with these guys. Talk about a rogues gallery. You know, you got Comey, Brennan, Clapper, Obama. I could go on with another 20 or 30 names. Hillary Clinton keeps surfacing here, right? But I think the easiest way to understand what happened here is to put it in cop language and explain it from a cop's perspective. So all of you listening out there or watching, put yourself in this shoes. You've been told to go up and park your radio car, your patrol car. And when you're doing this, you're not really paying attention and you accidentally back into the chief's car and you crease the door or the front end of the car. And all the cops get together and go, oh, boy, you know, nobody wants to fess up to this thing. So all the cops in the precinct, you know who did it, but nobody's saying anything. This is what happened here, right? This isn't some conspiracy thing that went on in the basement of the White House under the dark lights, you know, the green glow with the guys with the dark visors on. And this was a bunch of guys in a room trying to secure and safeguard their jobs so they can maintain their hands in the till and maintain their power in their positions. And they simply made up everything to go after this guy, Trump, to get him out of the way, because they knew he was a problem for them. He was going to get elected. He probably would have gotten elected again if they didn't continue with their antics. And they were going to prevent these people from, you know, from pocketing the goods, from looting and pillaging, which is what they've been doing for the last, you know, 40 years in the government. Nothing. They've had jobs with great titles, but no responsibilities whatsoever. And this is where all this comes from. And that's as simple as I can make this sound. This is a bunch of guys sitting around the table and they made everything up, covered each other's back, and kept pushing these stories out. That's what happened.
All right. Wow. Well, you know, get your wind while you can, because, you know, I don't want you to get too winded on this, but we got another one. We got former FBI Director Christopher Wray criminally referred to the DOJ. And maybe you can explain to our listeners exactly what that means and entails. It says he's been referred to the Department of Justice for criminal investigation by the Oversight Project. Now, their relationship with the government is interesting. It's a government watchdog group, and the referral alleges that Ray made false statements to Congress. And I know before you've talked about, Rich, the, you know, sometimes that's the best way to go after people, you know, lying to Congress, but they're accusing him of making false statements to Congress and obstructing proceedings in two separate investigations. And they involve FBI activity, the agency handling of a memo. That was the whole Catholic Americans thing and suppression of a probe on Chinese mail and voting machines. And then the oversight project, which they operate under the Heritage Foundation, which I think that arrangement is pretty interesting. They talk about the so-called Richmond memo in a separate matter involving counterfeit driver's licenses, allegedly linked to Chinese operatives during the 2020 election and all that stuff. And then, you know, there's more information about this. I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole on that. They do talk about the second allegation involving the Chinese Communist Party and Senator Chuck Grassley and some other stuff. I'll let you talk about that when we come back from commercial break. And it's amazing. The show's just going by so fast, but we got a lot to talk about. So, guys, we're coming up on our first commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we all know we can get our gear from a lot of different places. And then when you throw the online choices into that, they're almost endless, right? But I want to remind everybody about something very important. You want to support the companies that actually support law enforcement. I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. You can hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they'll be your new best friend. So again, that's Gauls at Gauls.com. Rich, I think open up that mic. You've got a new pair of Gauls cargos, don't you, that you're wearing, and you love them, right?
Sure do. I've got to tell you, I'm not much of a fashion reviewer, but I've got to tell you, these Gauls pants are the real deal.
All right, Gauls.com. Now it's time to talk about, guys, compliant technologies in today's world. Protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those in the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, a division of compliant technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. They're Eagle Protect nitrile gloves. They offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, yeah, we're not done. They're MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers. They eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. And we're still not done. They continue the kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. You can learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to compliantechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, that's compliantechnologies/MyTech. And that's because the best defense starts with the right protection. Again, compliantechnologies.com. Check it out. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by a retired Secret Service, Rich Steripoli. And, you know, we just got done talking. Well, we're talking about a lot of federal issues going on right now. And we just covered the former FBI director, Christopher Wray, being criminally referred to the DOJ. And I've got another one coming up after that. But, Rich, the floor is yours.
Yeah, this guy Wray's kind of been one of those guys that's run under the radar, right? Because Comey and Brennan and Clapper, you know, the trio of morons kind of has taken on, you know, the forefront. But, you know, this guy, Ray, rightfully so, he's going to get referred to the DOJ, and hopefully they arrest this guy. Primarily what they're talking about is his testimony before Congress, where he was asked, hey, did you direct the FBI to target Catholics as subversives? You know, did you or direct the FBI to target parents who were attending school meetings protesting things like transgender use of little boys' rooms and little girls' rooms as protesters and subversives as well? And it turns out, yeah, he did do all those things. He lied to Congress. He belongs in prison for doing all these things. He totally weaponized the FBI, again, at the behest of the Biden administration. And let's keep something else in mind. This guy's another one of these guys that loved having the job title but didn't want to do the job. Because if you go and check the records and you ask, where was this guy every weekend or in the middle of the week, he would disappear. He was unavailable to testify. He was taking the FBI jet. Believe it or not, the director of the FBI has a jet. And he was flying up to Lake Placid, New York, where he has a vacation home. And he was probably up there 40 weekends out of the year. The only guy that was less available than him was crazy Joe Biden. Right. So that speaks volumes. The problem that comes up here is, OK, what's the penalty for lying before Congress? You know, no one's gone to jail for lying before Congress since, you know, Joe Valachi in 1963. So what are they going to do here? Okay, Congress, you got it. You're putting this out there. Let's see you send somebody to jail. Do something here. The American public, the taxpaying American public has had enough. People need to be held accountable. I love the fact that you want to start with Ray. That's great. But let's keep working our way down the list. There's plenty of other names also.
All right. Well, you're right, because we've got Jack Smith coming up. So another one from Red Voice Media. Jack Smith now under federal investigation for politically targeting President Trump. So he's the former special counsel who led federal prosecutions against President Donald Trump. Now he's being investigated by the U.S. Office of Special Counsel for potential violations of the Hatch Act. Now, the OSC, they confirmed the investigation in an email review by the New York Post written by senior counsel Charles Baldus. It talks about the investigation focusing on whether Smith engaged in political activity while holding a federal position. And he was also, Smith brought charges against President Donald Trump relating to the retention of classified documents. We all know that story and how Biden fits into that and other people as well. Mike Pence and his actions on January 6, 2021. He's accused by critics of pursuing politically motivated legal actions during the 2024 election cycle. Rich?
Listen, the Hatch Act is pretty clear, right? You can't engage in partisan political activities while you're employed as a federal official, unless you're the president or the vice president. That's the one carve out. Particularly if you're an investigator and an attorney for the Department of Justice. It was so clearly a violation, it's ridiculous that we even have to talk about this. This guy needs to be held accountable. But we've seen this issue before where there's some clear-cut violations of the Hatch Act, yet nobody's held. Nobody's feet are held to the fire on this. Let's go after this guy. This guy went so far above and beyond what he was supposed to be doing to include the antics that were pulled during that Mar-a-Lago raid, which I'm still not convinced the whole point of that raid, people say, was to retrieve documents that, you know, Trump shouldn't have kept after he was out of office. How about the fact that once they got in there, how do we know what they were bringing into Mar-a-Lago to pin on Trump as well, right? So that whole thing stinks from the get-go. But this guy, Jack Smith, yeah, I'd love to see him locked up as well. This guy's a complete zero.
Well, you know, I remember with the raid of Mar-a-Lago, I remember the props that they used for the photographs that just happened to be leaked to the media. Right. And they were just props, you know, about everything they supposedly grabbed out of there. It was just crazy.
The whole thing was a prop. Talk about a stage. He just sent two FBI full-blown SWAT teams to do what? Show up at a guy's house? The guy was the president of the United States. He's under Secret Service protection. What did you expect was going to happen there? The Secret Service was going to get into a gun battle with you? What happened to calling the director of the Secret Service? You show up there with two guys in suits and ties, and you do that, or with some attorneys. I've seen less firepower brought out to arrest high-profile mob figures like John Gotti than what they sent to Mar-a-Lago. Total abuse of power, a total travesty. And if you want to go a little further, the director of the Secret Service and the deputy director were both involved in that raid at Mar-a-Lago.
Ouch. Wow. Yep. Well, speaking of Secret Service, we have another one. Disgraced former Secret Service director denied security clearance renewal. So on this one, we've got U.S. Secret Service has halted the renewal of former director Kimberly Cheadle's security clearance. And this is 1 year after, I guess, she resigned from the agency back in July of 2024. I did not realize that this is about the 1 year mark since she left. And I wouldn't say that she left holding her head up high either. The decision comes in the wake of sustained criticism over the agency's failure to prevent an assassination attempt on President Donald Trump. And of course, that was in Butler, Pennsylvania. And it goes on to say that Secret Service Director Sean Curran, that he appointed under the Trump administration, made the decision that he's the guy not to renew the clearance. Rich?
Yeah, talk about a disappointment. You know, everyone had great hopes for this guy, Sean Curran, but he's turned out to be an empty suit. Right. And I'll tell you why in a second. But this whole idea about these security clearances being kept in place for these former directors of the Secret Service so they can advise the current director, that's nonsense. All of these people leave the Secret Service and they go into the private sector and they use those security clearances to get access to information, which they in turn bring back to whoever's paying them in their corporate jobs. It costs the taxpayer a lot of money to maintain these clearances. They're just not needed by these people.
All right. Excellent. Excellent information, Rich. Perfect timing as well. We're coming up on our second commercial break. Guys, stick with us. It's going to continue to get good. We got some great material that we're going to be covering. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Hey, they're back. AeroPrecisionUSA.com. And, you know, Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And, yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. You can visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And, you know, way back in 1994, they started leading the AR charge and the builder parts domain charge, and now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with what we refer to as soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and the Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer. And in addition, their AR-308 M5 platform, nothing short of spectacular. So guys, head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up next week, it's all about trespassing. August the 13th, sign up at BlueTheGold.com today. Join thousands of your peers in blue. Step up your legal game, BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by retired Secret Service SAC, Special Agent in Charge, Rich Deripoli. So, Rich, I know we just got done talking about, or maybe we're still talking about, it's up to you, about the Secret Service Director, or I should say the former Secret Service Director, security clearance being yanked 1 year after she resigns in disgrace. Commentary on that?
Well, I'll tell you, the one thing I'll follow up with, and I'll finish with this point, is why is this such a big deal? It's because it costs the American taxpayer a significant amount of money to continue to give these people security clearances and keep it updated. Right, there's a big, thorough and background investigation that's got to be done, and everything's got to be updated. Everything from going out and verifying your mortgage payment to, you know, who you're living with. Usually, this thing can cost $50,000 to $100,000. Why should I, as a taxpayer, have to foot the bill for who knows how many hundreds of people have these security clearances when they're making, you know, $750,000 or $1 million in the private sector? Let them pay for their own security clearance. This is ridiculous. These people don't need access to this information anymore. This is nonsense.
Well, thanks. And, you know, lastly, we've got one last one here. And this came out today. Weapons of mass destruction. Tulsi Gabbard drops a bombshell on Barack Obama's DNI, James Clapper. And so Director of National Intelligence, of course, Tulsi Gabbard, we've been talking about her, you know, this afternoon, accused former Obama-era DNI, James Clapper, of manipulating intelligence for political purposes on multiple occasions, tying him to both the flawed weapons of mass destruction narrative. And that's going back quite a ways, right? I mean, the Iraq war and all that stuff, and the debunked Russia collusion narrative, which involves President Donald Trump. Gabbard made the remarks during an appearance on, and I want to give them credit, on the, what is it called? It's called the Pod Force One podcast, hosted by Miranda Devine of the New York Post. And it goes on to say that Clapper, she considers to be a repeat offender in politicizing intelligence and question his role in two of the most controversial and consequential failures in modern U.S. intelligence history. And then I guess you got to kind of ask yourself, is that just a coincidence, or is there something to that, Rich?
No, there definitely is something to that. You got to remember, these guys like Clapper and Brennan, I mean, they go back to the Lincoln administration, right? I think if you look at the picture from it, from Gettysburg or Antietam, you can see both of those guys clearly in the picture, right? That's how long these two morons have been around. Wow. But they absolutely knew when pencil got put to paper and a memo was generated over their signature, what was going to happen. Because their signature was on this, whether it said CIA, FBI, NSA, whatever title was, whatever letterhead was on that, once it circulated above their signature, they knew that was going to give credibility to whatever was written on that paper, and it was going to take on a life all its own and be looked at just as if it was genuine and vetted, and this is 100% accurate. So when they started doing things like this, you know, talk about violations of the Hatch Act. Well, there you go, right there. Everything they did was so politically motivated so they can maintain their positions and their power and keep their hand in the till. This is ridiculous, and it's about time they're being held accountable. Tulsi, go after them. I think it's great.
Yeah, we'll see what happens for this. It'll be interesting. I know a lot of people have their hopes up. Hopefully, not false hopes. And I know that Hillary Clinton's been brought into the mix on a lot of the stuff as well in the discussion. So I'm curious to see where this is going to go. So hopefully, we'll be talking about this quite a bit in the future, at least. Anyhow,
maybe we can get Hillary Clinton to bring back all the furniture she stole from the White House when they left office. Right, that the White House ushers had to go send the Secret Service to go get the moving truck. Because half the furniture they left with belonged to the American taxpayer and was actually property of the White House. That is a fact. That actually happened. I wouldn't trust the Clintons as far as I could throw them.
Well, and you know, I'm glad you brought that up because it's easy to forget about all the stuff that happens over the years. Because we're talking that happened a little while ago. Not, I guess not too long ago, but you know, we forget about these things. So thanks for bringing that back to our attention. So
that's why I'm here.
That's why you're here. All right. And hey, we have people entering the Goals gift card giveaway. So thank you guys so much. Ronald Rose, see your entry. And so I'm looking forward to giving that away on the next commercial break. And guys, so look, let's go ahead and cover a story. Well, you know, I was going to say a story with a video component. Let's do the video component. And then we have time to get to the one involving ATF. We will. Body cam shows Muskogee final shootout after suspect threatens to kill a code enforcement officer.
Doors open, doors open. Hands where we can see him. Hands where we can see him. He's in the front door.
Front door, you can't open the gun. He's at the front door. He's at the front door on the ground! On the front door on the ground!
Not too many. Not too often. You're in your nice little neighborhood, and you're having like an armored vehicle Bearcat, you know, rolling down the streets, you know, in Oklahoma. So the police released this camera footage. It starts off in the Bearcat. You got the SWAT dude hanging out at the top of the Bearcat, and he's got his long gun out there. He's got the pop. You popped up. Someone else is driving, and all of a sudden he starts, you know. He's on the giving end of fire, but the bad guy ends up returning fire before the bad guy, you know, expires. But it goes on to say that a code enforcement officer came to our bad guy Clayton Bailey's house because his grass was overgrown. Okay, so probably deed restricted community, nothing wrong with that. Bailey points a gun at the code enforcement officer, threatens to kill him, and the officer calls for backup. Now I love the fact that, you know, our cops are taking care of our code enforcement officers. So the team. The special operations team shows up, and none other than the freaking Bearcat, right? And so Bailey tells him that he's not going to come out because he's been assaulted by them, but then he eventually comes out. They say it's with an AR-style gun, but guys, it's not just any AR. It's a freaking AK-47. I mean, you look at a AR-15 that shoots a 223-556 round, and that's a decent-sized round, but then you get the 7.62 coming out of an AK-47. It's got a freaking drum magazine. I mean, the sheer firepower the guy had in his hand when he came out with a drum magazine AK, wow. And so, yeah, there was a shootout. So just going to my show notes and stuff, we see our guy in the Bearcat unloading in the doorway. And it's really, you really can't see really what he's looking at. But then we got another officer on foot, and you can see a lot better. You can see the bad guy come out of the front door area, and you see the guy in the Bearcat unloading first, then our officer on ground unloads on the bad guy. Bad guy runs back to the doorway, returns fire, and collapses and ends up dying. So that's the way it happened. Short video. It's only 2 minutes and 17 seconds. Rich Steropoli, Love to hear your input on this.
Yeah, I really like this video. I got to tell you, this one's worth a watch. It reminded me of an incident in Philadelphia a few years ago where a guy was barricaded in the house, fired some shots at the cops. Cops called for backup, and they rolled in an armored personnel carrier, drove it through the front of the guy's house, and then proceeded to burn down the entire block. I thought it's fantastic. But how'd you like to be this code enforcement officer? You show up for work. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. You're going out to some guy's house to hit him with a summons for $25 because his grass is too high or his garbage cans aren't in the garage, you know, that type of thing. Guy comes out and meets you with a gun. So you call for backup, and what do? They roll out this armored personnel carrier. They got a guy in the turret. He looks like – the video looks like he could be rolling down the streets in Mogadishu. It's fantastic. They go. They confront the guy. I thought it was handled really, really well. The communications was fantastic because this guy does produce, you know, an AK-47 with a drum, and, you know, and you hit it right on the head. The difference between that and the AR-15 or the M4, that's the difference between, you know, a musket ball and a shell fired from the battleship New Jersey, right? You imagine taking on, and you're in some gated community neighborhood, and this guy's got a drum-fed AK-47. Yeah, I think the Bearcat, the armored personnel carrier, was very appropriate for this guy, and I love the statement that makes. Listen, if you're going to do something stupid and take on the police, you're going to pay the price. So, you know, that's one less guy we've got to worry about, you know, feeding and housing as a guest of the state. You know, good job by those guys. Love it.
Can you imagine some housewife or mom sitting there watching their soap opera on TV and you hear that boom, when you hear this gunfire going on and you go looking out your window.
And you hear it.
Armored vehicle. Oh my gosh. It was like, I'm sure rattling the windows and freaking in every home within a half a mile block area. Jeez.
You got to watch this video because while the video is great, it's the sound quality is even better. Yeah. This is a protracted gunfight going on in the middle of this neighborhood. Just great job by the cops. I think they were fantastic.
Yeah, it was pretty spectacular. So I agree. So yeah, people wanting to watch it, all you have to do is go to a Rumble channel the very next day. You know, Tuesday through Saturday. You know, our show is Monday through Friday, but Tuesday through Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, our producer puts up a special version of the live show. It's a copy of the live show after he embeds every video we talk about in it and pictures of the good guys and the bad guys. So check that out. Now, we got just enough time to cover this. I think Fox13Memphis.com, explosives found during the arrest of a Tennessee guy who threatened a public official. So we got another guy threatening public officials, but we're in Old Fort, Tennessee. Officers find 14 IEDs, improvised explosive devices, in this guy's home. They do a search warrant, and he threatened to kill public officials, and he tried to detonate the devices as he was being arrested. And it's near Chattanooga. And we got the Polk County Sheriff's Office involved over there. And so, you know, they're taking him into custody. And then there's something smoldering in the bedroom where he's found. They call in the bomb squad and ATF. And they take 14 devices out of there safely. Thank God there were no accidents. Because, you know, we had a mishap in California not long ago. Rich.
You know, I got to tell you, all of these videos I try to have, you know, is there a takeaway that can be used? So the guys out there can either learn something new, or it's a great refresher and a reminder. And I think the takeaway from this video and this whole story is, hey, when you go into somebody's house, you got to be prepared for anything. You don't know what these people have in their house. Could be anything from a second gun that you never thought to ask about. Hey, you have any other guns? Alligator in the bathtub? A tiger in the basement? Right? We've seen that. To, hey, do you have any bombs in the house? And when the guy says, yeah, you've got to take that seriously because you just don't know, right?
Yeah. Excellent. All right, guys, stick with us. Another commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Accidents, injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, I spoke with him this morning. He's offering the people that have their own agencies a fantastic opportunity. You can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. You can go to the GunLearn.com gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. I'm Chip the Block, your host, joined by retired Secret Service Rich Steripoli. And, you know, we've been talking about a lot. We had all the federal articles that we discussed. We talked about this last one involving ATF having to come in and take away, 14 IEDs they found in the bad guy's home. And he tried to activate the devices while he was being arrested by law enforcement. And they saw something smoldering in one of the rooms. Crazy stuff, Rich. It's a new era for law enforcement, without a doubt.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, I like to point out also, there's a lot of different things that can be used to make explosives. And what people don't realize, in the federal statutes, there is a federal charge for being in possession of carbon dioxide. That's dry ice. Because if you put dry ice inside a piece of a pipe, you've got yourself a pretty good explosive there. So don't ignore the obvious. Things that may seem normal to have in somebody's house, you never know what you're going to run into, and you never know what it's going to be used for. So question everybody you deal with. Always ask, and never just, you know, that it's nothing, don't worry about it, because you don't know what people are up to. This is not a good time for law enforcement to feel safe and secure out there.
Wow, you know, that's an excellent point. Wow, good point. Well, guys, well, Rich, let me ask you something. I know you still have, you know, we still have skin in the game, and we got the show and stuff. You miss, what aspects of your job do you miss being on the other side?
Oh, listen, you know, being in law enforcement, whether you're a Secret Service agent or you're a local cop in Minot, North Dakota, you've got a ticket to the greatest show on earth. And you're usually right in the middle of everything that's going on. And I love every minute of that. Yeah, the adrenaline rush, the pressure that was on you, all the eyes on you to make a decision. I loved every minute of that. And that's what I miss the most. It's the ability to roll into a situation, take control of it, and it's yours. Deal with it. I love doing that.
Yeah. All right. I can see that. I totally agree. Yeah. Rumble.com, again, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Savannah officers justified in shooting a suspect who reversed and crashed in the officers during a pursuit.
Got him stopped. Still going. Two squads hit. Two squads hit. We got him boxed in. Field, just above the ambulance garage. Suspect at gunpoint.
We have an ambulance at this location now. He's taking gunshots.
0-112, roll EMS.
It's you know, we got a number of dash cams on this one. So the incident starts with a police chase. And it starts during the night of June the 25th in Freeport, and officers attempt a traffic stop. And it's a suspected stolen vehicle. So already there's a pucker factor there, right? So we got a car thief here. The bad guy's name is Mark Feltmeyer. And so he runs from police, but then he starts striking squad cars, and he hits another vehicle. And officers actually at one point lose sight of the vehicle, and they end the pursuit. Later that night, Joe Davis County Sheriff's Office deputy briefly pursues the same vehicle near Hanover, but he ends up terminating that pursuit as well. So that's the second time there's been a chase and it's been terminated. And of course, we all have rules of engagement for chases, and sometimes just for people on the outside looking in, sometimes the liability or the danger involving a chase can rise to a level above, you know, what it would be if you just simply let the guy go. So yeah, you're dealing with a car thief and stuff, but it's not like you're dealing with a pack of guys that just, you know, robbed the bank and you know, or committed massive murders, or you got someone that kidnapped, you know, a 7-year-old little girl. All right. So Early the next morning, suspects located near Savannah. And during that pursuit, the vehicle strikes a squad car. Now, police reported gunfire shortly before the vehicle crashed at an intersection in Savannah, and it hit a Mount Carroll Police Department squad car, damaged the front porch of a house. Officers then encounter the suspect and fire additional shots. Suspect, believe it or not, ends up surviving. Multiple officers end up being taken to area hospitals with non-life-threatening injuries. And even though no officers were shot, you get a bad guy in a 3,000 to 5,000 pound vehicle. This is what can happen. Just watching, you know, and my notes from the dash cams we were watching. Officers pursue the suspect who's driving a stolen. You know, it's really, I said a 3,000 or 5,000 pound vehicle. It's actually like a tow truck, and this thing is like massively heavy, and he's driving it backwards. This is from the beginning of the video. At the 138 mark, our officer attempts a pit maneuver from the front of the vehicle because it's going backwards, right? So he's got to try it from the front. And he thinks he has a suspect stop, but then the suspect starts ramming squad cars. And at the 2:08 mark, the truck moves in reverse against a squad car after they think that they have this guy cornered, and all the cops are already out of the car. They're approaching, and then he starts going reverse and like pushing squad cars again. They have him at gunpoint. Shots are fired at 2:17 when he accelerates forward towards the cops. And then we jump to dash cam number two. And at 3:10, we have shots being fired, and the suspect is later caught at 6:06 and arrested. It's just a wild scene, but I would say a fluid scene. There's just a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of video and there's a lot of cops. Maybe not necessarily a lot of great communication either. Rich, your take on this?
Yeah, this is a tough one, right? You know, on the face of it goes out as, you know, you've got a guy with a tow truck driving, you know, crazily in the streets. But it's not just a tow truck, right? This thing's a flatbed tow truck capable of towing, you know, driving a car up on top of it that probably weighs, you can probably truck 15, 20,000 pounds of vehicles on this thing. So stopping this becomes, you know, this is a mission all in itself, you know, and of course you're right. So the guy survives, right? Because these mutts never die right away, right? It's usually the cops that get hurt in something like this, or some citizen that steps off the curb and gets decapitated from the Jane Mansfield, you know, tailgate of the flatbed, takes his head right off, just something like that. But, look, how many cops? It's going to take a lot of cops and a lot of patrol cars to stop something like this, right? Your patrol car, whether it's a brand new, you know, Daytona or Charger or your 1984 Chevy Caprice, you're not stopping a flatbed, you know, tow truck driven by some nut job who probably has been a guest of the state previously. This isn't this guy's first go around with the police. The comms could have been a little bit better, but it was such a fluid situation. I thought everything they did was appropriate to getting this guy stopped.
You know, I'm trying to think back on some of the best car chase scenes I've seen. And I'm talking about with the cops trying to stop a large vehicle. And I can't believe I'm getting the movies mixed. It was either in one of the Alcatraz, you know, involving like Sean Connery. And I think it was Nick Cage, or else it was a Terminator one. But I know they were trying it was a fire engine ladder truck. And that ladder went sideways and was taking out support pillars, holding up buildings and crap and windows. I don't know if you remember that or not, but they were trying to stop this huge, massive, engine, fire engine, but it had the ladder truck and it swinging sideways and stuff. It made you think, wow, how difficult something like that would actually be.
Yeah, you know, stopping something like this, you could have used that Bearcat that they had up in Oklahoma, right? Stop this thing. You really needed a fire engine to block a road and shut this guy down. But, you know, most departments don't have something like that readily available. So you make do with what you've got.
Yeah, and you still have people that are screaming and yelling about army surplus stuff or military surplus, you know, stuff that the cops get access to. But of course, you know, when there's flooding and you need to be able to get the people and rescue them, you got an injured officer or civilian you got to be able to get to, or the Bearcat situation we talked about, which saved the day. Could you imagine if these guys solely came in with squad cars or on foot? And that AK, that 7.62 round, would have just gone through that metal like butter, and it would have been horrific.
Chopped them up. We would have had a lot more casualties and a lot fewer police cars ready to roll out on patrol, right? They'd be in a body shop permanently. So you need to have that equipment. People, you know, and these libtards make a big deal out of this kind of equipment out there. It's not like there is no jurisdiction in the United States that's patrolling the streets and armored personnel carriers. But when you need it, it had better be there. And that was the perfect example of why you need to have that stuff.
Yeah, you know, I wish people would stay in their lane. There's a lot of people weighing in that aren't experts in the field. They have no idea what they're talking about, but they have the microphone. They have the, they're getting a voice. And when they're disproved and proved wrong, someone still hands the microphone back to them and they weigh in the next day on the next issue. And that just, it didn't happen until the advent of the internet and social media. And now we just simply can't take the microphone away from certain people that just don't deserve to be able to weigh in and influence people like that. You're right.
Everybody's an expert. Everybody hates the police until you need them, right? Because when you need them, okay, what's your alternative? Who are you going to call if not the police? And you better hope they're coming for you, right? So, you know, that has a tendency to change people's minds pretty quickly.
No, I totally agree. So hopefully people watching the show, hopefully you guys appreciate us bringing the hard topics to you guys. And look, it's all about we all make decisions. You want to make educated decisions. So please vet your news sources, or hopefully you trust us enough to vet the information that we're bringing to you. And we're trying to give you just timely news and timely information so you can make the right decisions and impress your friends on the weekend when they ask you questions and you know more than they do. So, hey, Rich, another fantastic show. Thank you so much for being on the show. Appreciate it. Love having you here.
Well, thank you.
Usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. They have that summit coming up, and that is coming up in September next month. So if you guys haven't checked it out, go to thewoundedblue.org and check out the summit. You can go as a first responder. You can go with your wife. They've got a lot of programs and classes and things that are going on. They got some entertainment lined up as well. It's really a great opportunity. And of course, we're going back to SHOT Show in January, so check that out as well. Look, a shout out again to our sponsors, guys. We've got Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, Aero Precision USA, GunLearn, Blue the Gold, My Medicare, Safe Recruiting, Two Bells, Fish, OrlandoBass.com. Thanks. We'll look for you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.